Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I am a former middle school teacher. I'm a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. So that's what we talk about. What types of strategies and approaches and frameworks we can use to help students reach their creative potential. And we've been talking about something a little bit different on this podcast. We are doing a summer series, which has been a lot of fun for me to be able to do this, on what it means for teachers to own their professional learning. So today I want to talk about this idea of sharing your voice. And that's why the episode name is The World Needs Your Voice. So when we think of professional development, it's easy to think of the skills you might acquire, the concepts you might learn, or the ideas that you might explore. But professional development is bigger. It entails things like beliefs and habits and attitudes. And it's about your professional identity and not just your skill set. This includes sharing your expertise and your experiences with the larger community. In other words, sometimes you might be reading books and blogs and articles, but sometimes you might also write those pieces. You might create your own book or blog or article. You might listen to a podcast, which obviously you're doing right now, but you might also create one of your own. You might attend conferences or webinars or courses, but you might also craft learning experiences for others. Regardless of your approach, the idea here is that one of the best ways to grow in your professional learning is to create content and share that with others. When this happens, we move from a top-down model to a more connective, democratic model of professional learning. Here, we're able to honor the expertise of everyone in the educator community. This has always been one of my things that I care deeply about, is the idea of empowering the community rather than just looking for an outside expert at all times to solve problems. And the more you share with others, the more you grow in your own professional learning. Here's what I mean. The more you blog about your experiences, the more reflective you grow in your practice. This can help improve metacognition and help you refine your approach to teaching. The more you advocate for change, the more likely you are to share better insights, affect local policy, and ultimately bring awareness to critical issues in education. As you share new perspectives, you gain a more nuanced understanding of what you believe and a deeper understanding of your values and beliefs. The more you share practical strategies, the deeper you'll understand the craft of teaching. After all, sometimes the best way to learn something at a deeper level is to teach it to others. Moreover, as you engage in the act of content creation, you grow more empathetic to your students as they engage in things like design thinking and project-based learning on their own. You can empathize with their fear and help them provide strategies for creative risk-taking. You gain a deeper understanding of the creative habits that they'll need to form in order to become lifelong makers. You might be thinking that you're not enough of an expert to share your voice with the world, but that's not the way to think about it. In fact, it's not about being the ultimate expert. It's about sharing your ideas and your insights and your experiences with others. What you have to offer may not be the biggest expertise in the field, but what you do offer is a unique lens based on your own unique experience. In other words, the world needs your voice. So we know that with digital tools, it is easier than ever to share your voice with the larger world. This might include providing practical tips or even free resources for fellow educators. It might involve teaching concepts, but it might involve sharing your experiences or telling your story so that others know that they're not alone in a profession that often feels solitary. Henry Jenkins describes these as being part of a participatory culture. He includes the following elements in what makes up a participatory culture. There's a low barrier of entry for participation, strong support for sharing, informal mentorship, members who believe their contributions matter and value the participation of others, and social cohesion. So if you think about the teacher education community, that's essentially what we are. We have a low barrier of participation. It's easy to get into. Strong support for sharing, right? We have all these social media tools. Informal mentorship. This is hit or miss in terms of how good the mentorship is. Members who believe that their contributions matter, and that's a critical component, right? We're a larger community, and there is this social cohesion. Now, participatory cultures are often creative and open rather than consumer-oriented or closed. They tend to be multi-age, interest-based, and centered on those shared interests. So that's, you know, basically how they work. And participatory cultures remind us that creativity isn't solitary. It's nearly always to and from a community. Great ideas rarely happen in isolation. Instead, they're the work of this constant sharing back and forth of learning and doing and making. And this is why it's so important that you share your voice and your work, right? There are a lot of different ways that you can do this. So you might be thinking right now, like, okay, this is great. I'm up for sharing my voice, but what does it actually mean and what does it actually look like? Well, here are a few different ways. You could write a book. Now, this option takes a significant amount of time, but when you write a book, you're taking a deep dive into a topic and you're gaining a deeper understanding of the ideas and implications for educators. Often you have a more nuanced understanding of the research and the theory that backs up the specific teaching strategies that you have. And look, your book may get read by a lot of people and it may not. I wrote 5 different education books and none of them got read, like none of them. And then for some reason, when I co-wrote the book Launch with my friend AJ Giuliani, suddenly that became a bestseller on Amazon. And then Empowered, the same thing happened. And then when I went solo and did Vintage Innovation on my own, the same thing happened. So the point being, it's okay if nobody buys the book at first. You're gonna build an audience slowly over time. And it's really not about audience building. It's about how you grow through the process. So yeah, I wrote those other books and not a lot of people bought them. And that's okay because really what I gained is I became a much more reflective educator. If books seem too daunting, the second idea is that you could write an article. And there's a lot of options. It could be Edutopia, Educational Leadership, Education Week. There's all kinds of different aggregates on the platform Medium that you could use. So, you know, maybe your goal is to write an article instead of writing a whole book. Another option, though, if you want to be a little more committed to the process, would be to create a blog. Now, I'll tell you ahead of time, if you go to the blog post that connects to this or read the show notes, you'll see that I am doing a free course for teacher bloggers. This is if you want to get started with blogging as a teacher, I'll walk you through in a week how to set up your blog. So blogging is great because it's flexible. It's whatever you make it. Another option would be to start a podcast. You can do interview-based podcasts or simply record yourself speaking, which is what I'm doing right now. And you might feel a little bit self-conscious with that, but I can tell you, I feel self-conscious too. I think about this and I don't edit my podcast, right? So there's, you know, if you get an or an or if I yawn, you're going to hear that on this podcast. In fact, I just said yawn, which means now I'm yawning, which means you're now yawning. You can thank me later. But the point being that really, and truly, I was self-conscious about this. I didn't know if anybody would like my podcast. And that's true anytime you start out with sharing your voice. There's always this phase early on where you feel self-conscious about it. But I can tell you, the more that you do this, the better off it's going to be. Another option is to launch a YouTube channel. If you go to my YouTube channel, it's spencervideos.com, and I do a lot of these sketch animation videos. That's probably my most popular style that I do. But yours don't have to be sketch animation. There's a lot of different options. You could do instructional and how-to videos using things like screencasting. You could do annotated slideshows where you share ideas on a Keynote or PowerPoint that you record. You know, you could also do a daily or weekly vlog. I mean, all it really takes is having, a smartphone, and you could record it. You don't have to have fancy transitions and background music and stuff. Just share your thoughts. Another option is to create and share resources. So you might have classroom resources like rubrics or graphic organizers. You might create full curriculum. Another option would be to create online training. So there's a lot of different options here. There's courses, webinars, meetups, and all of those are things that you can create on your own. You don't even have to have a fancy platform. You could just use, Google Classroom. You could use social media. You could use emails if you want. There's a lot of different options for doing training. You can do Facebook Live, right? And do trainings that way. Participate in professional organizations. There are so many different great organizations that are looking for help. So you might do advocacy, you might do professional development, but here you're sharing your voice through things like community organizing or policy work. And then the last option is social media. Now we'll be taking a deeper dive into this topic later, but with social media, you can connect with the larger educator community through things like Facebook groups or through creating chats on Twitter or just sharing and advocating on things like Instagram or Snapchat or TikTok. In all likelihood, you're going to find multiple platforms that work for you. In fact, I was thinking about this right now. Aside from professional organizations, I kind of use all of the above, right? But the key is to find what works for you and give yourself the permission to avoid platforms that just aren't a great fit. Like for privacy reasons and style reasons, I'm not into TikTok. I just haven't gotten into it, and I probably won't. On the other hand, I really like using Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. So truly, it's all about what works best for you. So what do you do? What are your options with sharing your voice? Now, the first option would be sharing your journey. And with sharing your journey, you're sharing a snapshot of what it's like to be in the classroom. This could be reflecting on what you've learned. It could be showing how to do something. It's really up to you. And educators who openly reflect on their journey can also help, other educators make sense out of their own beliefs and values and practices. When teachers are vulnerable, it can help fellow teachers internalize the idea that it's okay to be imperfect. In fact, we can all grow from our mistakes. When I read certain reflective bloggers, I leave feeling a little less alone. Like there's someone out here there who really gets and understands my experience. This is what I love about Pernille Rip's blog. That's what I like about Pocketful of Primary's vlog. They're just so relatable. One thing I love is John Harper's videos and his blog because of just the vulnerability that he has there. It's what I love about Jed Derryberry's read alouds. It's what I love about Sarah Thomas's inside look at being an educator and a publisher. I've always loved reading Jose Vilson's blog where he reflects on being a math teacher and a dad in New York City. The idea is that as you share your experiences and you share your journey, you often end up advocating for what you believe, but it's all through your own personal lens of your journey. Sometimes this is a little more on the personal side. Sometimes this is a little more on the professional side. Either way works. But the goal is that, the first way that you might use it is as a way to really reflect and share your journey. The second way is to advocate for what you believe. Now, this is similar to sharing reflections, but this is also sort of moving from reflecting on what you're learning or sharing your story to actually being a little more persuasive and convincing people that certain things need to change or that certain things work well. There are so many different stories of how awful schools are and how out of touch teachers are. And right now, to be honest, I think that there's so many bad narratives about teachers, especially those who are worried about going back to face-to-face classes. And I've seen people mock teachers, and it's just been ugly, really ugly. But when students share their learning journeys with the community, it changes the narrative by showing evidence that there's great things happening in your school. Before the quarantine, my friend Tim Lauer used to walk around taking snapshots of the creative work his students were doing at his school. He's a principal. And this affirmed the creative voice of the students, but it also honored the creative work of the teachers who were those architects of innovation at his school. This wasn't self-promotion, and this wasn't personal branding. It was simply storytelling at its core, and it was awesome. Now, it's unclear what this will mean amid the distance learning, and I don't know what, you know, if Tim Lauer is going to be doing the exact same thing this next year, but I do love this idea of advocacy through storytelling. There's a really negative narrative that our schools are all broken, that teachers are merely powerless pawns in the system, cogs in a wheel in a factory-style education system. You hear that. But I don't buy it. I think there are amazing creative things happening all around us if we're willing to look and if we're willing to share. That is one part of advocacy. But advocacy also means advocating for the changes that we want to see in education. I love the way Jennifer Bennis pushes my thinking on gender and power by relentlessly advocating for these particular issues. I love the way my former principal, Raul Pena, uses his platform to advocate against racism and for the rights of the most vulnerable in his community. I appreciate the way Ken Shelton and Sabrina Joy Stevens advocate for dismantling racism and white supremacy in our schools. And as mentioned before, I love the way Jose Wilson shares his experience while also advocating and organizing for social justice within the U.S. public education system. The bottom line is that sometimes, yes, you are sharing your journey, but sometimes you're not just sharing your journey, you're sharing your deep down beliefs about education, and you're advocating for change. The final option, or I guess you could say approach, would be to share your expertise. As mentioned before, sometimes you are a storyteller sharing your experiences and reflecting on your learning. Sometimes you are advocating for what you believe. However, sometimes sharing your voice is all about sharing your expertise. This can be really hard for teachers to admit that they are experts on a particular aspect of teaching. But if you have insights and experiential knowledge, it isn't arrogant to say, "I'd like to share what I know with you." It can feel really arrogant, but it's deeply humble when you share your expertise. It takes a certain level of vulnerability to share practical resources with others because it's automatically open for scrutiny. I love Jackie Gerstein's blog because it provides specific practical resources on maker education. I love how Ross Cooper and Charity Parsons and Trevor Muir all share great resources for PBL. I regularly read Jen Gonzalez's Cult of Pedagogy, and I love her podcast. My favorite bloggers and vloggers and podcasters, they all share their expertise with an approach that says, "I want to share something that worked for me. I can't promise it will work for you. I'm not claiming to have the ultimate cure that will fix everything in education, but I thought I'd share this with you, and you might find it useful." You might share big ideas. You might share frameworks. You might share blueprints of things that others can use. Or you might create actual curriculum or classroom resources that you share with others. You might even share your expertise on a particular topic and help teachers develop a deeper conceptual understanding while also learning new specific strategies that they can use. Again, it doesn't have to be a blog or a podcast. It could be that you share your expertise in a webinar or a training. There's a lot of different ways to do this. Note that many educators blend personal reflection, advocacy, and practical resources. You don't need to find one single approach and stick to it. After all, sharing your voice is deeply personal and idiosyncratic. Your voice is about your expertise, your values, your beliefs, and ultimately your identity. In some cases, it might not always be safe to share certain thoughts in certain spaces. However, when you do share your voice with a larger community, you are ultimately able to grow professionally while also helping others that are inside this community. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts? Thank you again so much. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.